Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Thank you all so much for joining us today. And today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse 325. And today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu. So, Prabhu, thank you so much for accepting this service of glorifying from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can now take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for engaging me in the service. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Muni Nicha Jati Kichu Na Jano Nachara Mohaite Kache Hayasmriti Pracha Parachara. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities? Purport. Actually, Sanatana Goswami belonged to a very respectable Brahmana family. Nonetheless, he submitted himself as a fallen, low-born person because he had served in the Muslim government. A Brahmana is never supposed to engage in anyone's service. Serving others for a livelihood, Paricharyatmakam karma, is the business of Sudras. The Brahmana is always independent and busy studying Shastra, bringing Shastra to subordinate social members such as Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Sanatana Goswami felt unfit to write Vaishnava Smriti about the behavior of Vaishnavas because he had fallen from the Brahminical position. Thus, Sanatana Goswami clearly admits that the Brahminical culture should be standardized. Presently in India, so-called Brahmanas are almost all engaged in some mundane service and they do not understand the import of the Vedic Shastras. Nonetheless, they are passing themselves off as Brahmanas on the basis of birth. In this connection, Sanatana Goswami declares that a Brahmana cannot be engaged in anyone's service if he wants to take a leading part in the society. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni states that even if a Brahmana is in a difficult position, he should not accept the occupation of a Shudra. This means that he should not be engaged in service for another, for this is the business of dogs. Under the circumstances, Sanatana Goswami felt very low because he had accepted a position of service in the Muslim government. The conclusion is that no one should claim to be a Brahmana simply by birthright while engaging in someone else's service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, text number 325, the chapter title, the 61 explanation to Atma Ramasya verse. The context here is, Mahaprabhu has completed explaining about all the 61 different meanings, and Mahaprabhu is now asking Sanatana Goswami to take up this writing service. Sanatana Goswami glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his wonderful narration, and after explaining after glorifying Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu responded back saying that you are a blessed soul, and what I have done for one single verse, he feels that the future generation should learn from that and try to have a detailed study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu expected that Sanatana Goswami facilitates, sets some precedents, and this opens up a very interesting topic altogether. So the current sloka is in the context where Sanatana Goswami is expressing his state of mind for the service that Mahaprabhu has entrusted upon him. We are going to churn this particular shloka and try to see some sets of reflections. I am currently in Vrindavan Dham with 20 youths from Mumbai, and today we had a wonderful day of Giriraj Govardhan Parikram, and I just came back maybe an hour before from Govardhan Parikram, and I was just reflecting on today's class. So it's a pleasure to be in Vrindavan Dham, to be speaking on the science of Krishna consciousness to this wonderful assembly of devotees, even though it is in the cyberspace. So it's always a nectar, it's always purifying to glorify the Lord, that too in Vrindavan Dham. So morning we had a session, and we have been having sessions for the past 2 days. So every day we used to have two sessions. But since today we have this Govardhan Parikrama, so we had only one session. But then Krishna thought that how can I not engage this guy in service? So I'm very happy to be speaking on the science of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave a wonderful purport, very strong one, very direct one, and There are no ifs and buts. Very straight point that Srila Prabhupada says, Brahmana means this is how he should function. He is even going ahead to explain that even if he means that he is suffering, even if it means that he is not having a proper engagement in terms of not proper job, not proper earnings, he says that in case of difficult position also, a Brahmana should be strong. Srila Prabhupada had set up this Krishna consciousness movement to elevate each and every one of us to such a position so that we can win more and more souls to Krishna's lotus feet. So we are going to have few reflections, and the first one is about the state of consciousness of the current day so-called Brahmanas. Some reasoning around it. It is very interesting to note, I mean, I have personally witnessed this. I come from a South Indian Smartha Brahmin family, so-called Orthodox Brahmin family. But just for the sake of it, we are Brahmanas. But my father wanted me to be an engineer, and he made me engineer and eventually expected me to work for corporate, which I was doing before I started my own business. Even though we had all the Vedic rituals, ceremonies, prayers, worships, practices, but the life perspectives were completely centered around social status and financial stability. It is very unfortunate that the current day Brahmanas have come to a complete clear-cut conclusion that if we have to have a very equal, happy status, either we need to give up our position of being a Brahmana and do a odd man job, either in the corporate or for some government or for some, so typically working for somebody else. If not, the immediate alternative choice they have chosen is to misuse the position of being a Brahmana. This is a very degraded state of Kali, and we are all definitely becoming victim to this effects of Kali upon us. But the concerning point is the Brahmanas, who are supposed to be the heads of the society, the Brahmanas who are supposed to be directing the other three Varnas, if they are completely confused, if they are sold out to the idea of survival of the fittest, then how can we establish Varnashrama? How can we establish any organized way of living? What will remain is only a state of confusion, and everybody will be aiming for to proving their own point. So the first reflection that we are going to discuss is why this all had happened. And we all have heard this many times, that until few hundred years before, our education system was pretty much based on culture of respect, based on principle of hierarchy, based on God-centeredness, and based on how to help one another and coexist. When these four things were present in our education system, there was very harmonious living in the society. But when these four things were systematically, organizedly collapsed, that's when the problem started to creep in. So a Brahmana, the moment the Brahmana got to become greedy, the moment the Brahmana could not have self-control of his senses, the downfall started. So many times we hear about Srila Prabhupada talking about democracy as demon crazy and how Shudras are ruling. But the underlying principle or underlying point of why Shudras took over is because Brahmanas got sold out to cheap ideas, thinking that that gives them safety and security and happiness. When Brahmanas did not create further Brahmanas, they failed in their duties. When Brahmanas did not regulate the society, they failed in their duties. When Brahmanas did not become the role model, they failed in their duties. When there was no pramana, basis on which the society should function, which was supposed to be set up by a brahmana, they failed in their duties. And how did this all happen? This all happened by embracing to a complete modern ideology of education. Sruti Dharma Prabhu, the ex-president of Bhaktivedanta Manor, he once mentioned this to me. He said, he was referring to the British ruling. He said, wherever Britishers go and want to occupy the kingdom, occupy the state, country, jurisdiction, they do four things. They learn the local language. They construct hospitals. They give job to the local people. And they set up schools. So by doing so, they are actually touching those nerves where everybody will become convinced that they are our well-wishers. A Brahmana, a self-realized soul, one who has learned Vedic literature, should very clearly know that nobody can maintain us but for Krishna. But when they stopped believing in that, that's when the problem starts to creep in. So when the material education took over, how did they start to accomplish this? They start to demean everything that we were doing. And the moment they demean, first time we will ignore. Second time we will ignore. A third time we start to doubt, oh my God, probably I am doing something substandard. So when the modern education system was introduced, which was definitely not within this country, it came from somewhere else. Whoever has done that very carefully orchestrated this to make us believe that what we have is an outdated version, and look at this modern way. And they showed some petty results which made us believe that yes, we are heading up to a modern society, sophisticated society, successful society, and for that I am ready to compromise a little bit of what I have been doing for ages. So there are 5 effects this modern education has done to us, especially to the Brahminical society. The first thing this modern education has done is it brings in dissatisfaction and satiation. So it makes us to constantly feel agitated. In Hindi we said tadapna, to be always in the state of anxiety, always in the state of aiming something else, always in the state of restlessness, because material education would never give a settled, calm, peaceful solution. The result of material education is to make us be restless, agitated, and constantly look for something better than what I am doing. This is a doggish mentality. When you keep dog a plate full of food, when the dog is eating that, when something else or some other eatable is around the dog, it will leave this and go there. Then from there it will leave that and go somewhere else. So somewhere or other, as Prabhupada writes here, a Brahmana got into the business of dogs. The second effect of material education is it makes one's heart hard. And the way they do is by giving an abrated version of knowledge. What we say, ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya, we say by knowledge our illusion is mitigated. Unfortunately, modern education is also saying the same logic. By this knowledge, your superstitious belief, your so-called outdated knowledge, your so-called faith in the old school system will get mitigated. Come, embrace. The third effect of material education upon us, especially the Brahminical classes, it makes them narrow-minded and not broad-minded. One of the special qualities of a Brahmana is he is accommodative. He is caring. He is considerate. But then, this material education has crippled and made him narrow-minded. Narrow-minded means self-centeredness. No self-control. And not minding to operate on the platform of sensual and mental rather than being intellectual. The fourth effect of material education upon all of us is we develop inadequate devotional symptoms. I call them as AIDS, acquired inadequate devotional symptoms. We naturally slowly acquire, slowly subscribe to modern ideologies that our natural devotional symptoms, the natural devotional sentiments that we have been inheriting from ages, is slowly depleting. In Bhagavatam, we have got so many such pastimes. When King Vena was behaving in such a reckless manner, immediately Brahmanas took action and reacted to that and fixed the solution. But now, when there are so many Venas, and I can definitely say that there are so many Brahmanas, definitely some qualified ones are around, but unfortunately they don't have the courage, neither have the spine to challenge such a so-called unscrupulous behavior. And last effect of material education on each and every one of us is we consider illusion as reality, and start to believe that that's our way of life. Like how with kids, we use toys and the kids get satisfaction by playing with the toys. Even though they are not the real one, they imagine that they are real and they derive as much pleasure as they can. Similarly, this material education has taught us to an extent, that just by being an illusion, we start to assume us as the reality. Look at the current lifestyle that our younger generation is embracing. Baseless, futureless, characterless, and completely based on illusion. The marriage has become illusion. Relationship is based on illusion. Life's goal is based on illusion. When I say based on illusion, we are actually operating on some desire level, which is again an illusion. We say, if I get so-and-so thing, I'll be happy. If my relationship has so-and-so components, the relationship will be nice. In my marriage life, if I have so-and-so arrangements, my marriage will be nice. But all those expectations are completely baseless. And finally, we are losing ourselves. So Srila Prabhupada says that this is how a demon operates. In previous ages, demons used to come and challenge Krishna. Now demons are equally challenging, negating Krishna by the process of giving modern ideologies and modern theories and completely taking us away from Krishna. So this is the first reflection of why the current civilization, both Brahmanas and others, got completely sold out to this modern education system. And what is the effect of this? We demean role models. We undervalue teachers, gurus. We make shame of the role of mothers and Grihini, the one who runs the house. It is very simple. The moment three people together, one after the other, come and mocks at us and make some statement, we start to get to believe that probably they are right and I cannot do this. Oh Prabhu, you are not singing very nicely. Oh Prabhu, your tune is, you know, going besur, completely, you know, out of frequency. Oh, somebody is saying that Prabhu, you are not singing very well. We will start to think that probably genuinely I am not singing well. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj tells the story of a Brahmana who had a very nice cow. So, three thieves wanted to actually get that cow because the cow was a milking cow, very nice one. So, they made a plan. The first guy went and told, when this Brahmana was taking this cow to another, you know, it was taking the cow for a walk, or he was trying to, you know, play with the cows, or, you know, be with the cow. The first guy went to the Brahmana and said that, my dear sir, you are such a learned person, why are you hanging around with a donkey? So this Brahmana said, what crazy guy are you? This is not a donkey, this is a cow. No, no, sir, this is a donkey. Brahmana said, no, this is a cow, get lost. So this guy went. So a little later, the second guy came and said the same thing. My dear sir, you're such a learned person, why are you playing with a donkey? So for a minute, Brahmana thought, what is this up to? What is this going on? So he said that, my dear friend, this is a cow and this is mine. You please, you know, get out, get lost. But when the third guy came and said the same thing, the Brahmana started to, you know, contemplate and started to think, maybe something is wrong with me. Maybe I am thinking, I brought by mistake. Maybe because I am getting old, I didn't realize what I am carrying, what I am bringing, with whom I am playing, with whom I am hurting. So maybe these guys are right. How can three people be, you know, simultaneously wrong? So in management schools today, and in the marketing techniques of selling products, these strategies are adopted. I used to always, you know, say this to our students. It's very important to get some qualification for us to have a social status and stable life. But when you are studying, please don't consider all that is being taught in the school as a final ultimatum, and based on that come and challenge, and don't come and challenge spiritual knowledge. As students of Srimad Bhagavatam, as students of Bhagavad Gita, as students of Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement, we should keep our philosophy as the basis. We should keep the Krishna consciousness Siddhanta as the premises, and then study the modern knowledge, knowing that they are nonsense, and maintain them as a nonsense only. Use them where they are supposed to be used, and not subscribe and embrace them as our life's principle. And unfortunately, that is not happening. And the irony is, some of our devotee children, some of our devotee families are facing this serious challenge of losing their own Vaikuntha children to this modern education system. This is my first reflection. The second reflection is, Sanatana Goswami's state of mind. Sanatana Goswami, he is confessing here about his past, and he is ashamed of that. It is not that Mahaprabhu did not know about it. Mahaprabhu knew about it. When Rupa and Sanatana met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time, they immediately realize their mistake of how they made a mistake of joining the assembly of Nawab Hussain Shah. And Mahaprabhu also could immediately recognize that these two are wonderful Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas, and if they contribute their intelligence for the Sankirtan movement, lot more things could be accomplished. So Mahaprabhu also made sure that he sowed the right seed and told them that please come and join the Sankirtan movement. So since the day when Mahaprabhu had told them, both of them have been regularly contemplating to come and see Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was in Chandrasekharacharya's house, we had read that in one of the earlier chapters, Sanatana Goswami sneak peeked out from the jail because Nawab Hussain Shah wouldn't relieve Sanatana Goswami. He somehow relieved Rupa Goswami from the jobs, duties, but he wouldn't relieve Sanatana Goswami because he knew that without them he can't function. He knew their intelligence. When they still were persistent, Nawab Hussain Shah said that, sorry, if you are going to, you know, insist like this, I'm going to, you know, arrest you. But behind the bars, he was getting the work done from them. So Sanatana Goswami is reflecting on all those things, that Mahaprabhu is entrusting upon me with such an important task, but look at what I have done. नाना शास्त्र विचारणैक निपुणौ सद्धर्म संस्थापकौ नाना शास्त्र विचारणैक निपुणौ. These Goswamis, they are not ordinary people. Srinivasacharya is singing that how these Goswamis studied all the Vedic literature left, right, center to establish Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. Look at those candidates Mahaprabhu has chosen. Rupa and Sanatana, he entrusted upon them some very important Herculean task of expanding his instructions to Vaishnava Siddhanta. So all that we are enjoying now is the blessings of Rupa and Sanatana. Of course, Jiva Goswami and all the Goswamis per se. Their contribution is amazing. And without that, the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava preaching movement wouldn't have spread as it is now. So Sanatana Goswami is repenting. So the reflection here is that in our process of Krishna consciousness, a sincere practitioner should always have this frame of mind of being optimistic upon others and pessimistic upon oneself. It's a very, you know, crude statement. But the point is, each and every one of us should put ourselves in such a state where we constantly think, how am I supposed to serve the Supreme Lord? At the same time, what is my current shortcoming? It is said that one is considered as a mature and a sane person only when he understands his own mistakes. Half of the time in our Krishna consciousness we struggle because we don't even know what's wrong with us. We don't even know what is the correct state to be in. All we knew is that we are not happy. I was discussing this morning in the session with the devotees over here. We have sown some seed, didn't know what seed we sown, but we are expecting a fruit from the tree grown from the seed. I have sown thorny bushes, How can I expect apple? How can I expect some tasty fruits? So one should be at least aware. One should be cognizant enough to know what his shortcomings are. So Sanatana Goswami is exhibiting a very wonderful quality of humility as always. And Sanatana Goswami's humility is something that you cannot even imitate, you cannot even comprehend. One day Jagadananda Pandit told Sanatana Goswami. Jagadananda Pandit and Sanatana Goswami were coming together. At that time, Jagadananda Pandit told Sanatana Goswami, "My dear Sanatana, your humility is breaking my heart." It means that one humble devotee cannot accept or cannot manage, cannot embrace, cannot assimilate the humility of another person because he is already humble. How can he consider himself better than the other person because the other person states that I am lower than you? So Jagadananda Pandit is a very nice humble devotee. So he was telling Sanatana Goswami, "Your humility is breaking my heart. You are a saint. You are a wonderful devotee. And by you being humble, puts me in a very, ashamed position." So Sanatana Goswami's humility immediately was like that. When Sanatana Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, he used to feel this same mood that he is stating over here, that I am not a so qualified person, I made a mistake of serving Mohammedans and Shudras. So how can I claim myself to be a Brahmana? So Sanatana Goswami used to consider himself as a very low person, and to that effect, he would not walk in the streets, in the same streets, as that of the Brahmanas who are worshipping Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra Maharani. He wouldn't even step on the shadow of the Brahmanas. Such is the level of his humility. So the second reflection is about two important aspects of our devotional life. One is repentance. Second is about humility. And both of these qualities, they complement each other, because unless we are humble, we won't repent for the mistakes that we have done. And unless we repent for the mistakes we have done, we will not be able to understand how or where do we stand in our spiritual journey. So Sanatana Goswami, even though Mahaprabhu considers himself as a very nice devotee, Sanatana Goswami still takes a humble position. So this is something that we need to learn. So humility is not something about a lip service. Somebody had sent in this group about Mahatma Prabhu's statement of don't shy away from your own reality. So we need to have a reality check about ourselves. We need to constantly know where we stand. Unfortunately, incidentally, we definitely do a reality check about what all we are better off rather than what all we are missing. And that is why our Krishna consciousness journey needs to have this process of self-inflicting pain. This is something that I put it upon myself. The austerities, the services, the introspection, all these things are meant to dig out those quotients which sits as a virus and not let us progress in Krishna consciousness. So the second reflection is about Mahaprabhu enabling Sanatana Goswami, but still Sanatana Goswami very genuinely confesses, reflects, not to shy away. He's not forgetting about his past. He's feeling ashamed because he didn't want that the service that is given has got any 1% of mistake, because it is coming from Mahaprabhu and it is a great, glorious, important service. And we are going to see in the next few verses later how Sanatana Goswami is making a recommendation to Mahaprabhu that he is still ready to do the service. I am not qualified. I have done mistakes in the past. I have fallen down. But still I am ready to do the service, because it is not that I am shying away from my service. I am just registering my inability. So you need to help me. And he is making a request. My dear Mahaprabhu, you need to enable me, enlighten me, and present in my heart for me to speak, write, and share the thoughts that you wish me to share. And what Mahaprabhu is doing? He is giving a huge list of things that Sanatana Goswami should be putting in his book. He is giving a synopsis of what Sanatana Goswami should write about. Very nice list. We will all read it in the next set of future verses in the same chapter. So Mahaprabhu is listing so many things that Sanatana Goswami, you please explain this, you explain this, you explain this, you explain this. So this is the second reflection where we get to understand that our Krishna consciousness is based on how much we repent about our mistakes and how much we have a reality check and stay humble to be participating in Krishna's service. The third reflection is about the Siddhanta of revelation. The process of Krishna consciousness, as we all know, it is not based on our self-endeavor only. Self-endeavor is the beginning point, the reciprocation from the Lord and His dear devotees is the real crux of our progress in Krishna consciousness. If some of us think that I am in a devotee because of my endeavor, then we are wrong. I am in Vrindavan Dham because of my endeavor, I am wrong. I am practicing Krishna consciousness because of my intelligence, I am wrong. Because that is what modern education teaches. So what is the Siddhanta of revelation? Because the state in which Sanatana Goswami is confessing to Mahaprabhu, and very soon, 3-4 verses later, Mahaprabhu agrees to reveal. Mahaprabhu is sharing. Mahaprabhu is giving the entire synopsis of this book. And very interestingly, you will see the very first thing Mahaprabhu is taking, is telling in that synopsis, is about spiritual master and worship of the spiritual master. He is saying, as a part of the synopsis, how one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So the third reflection that we are going to have today is about the process of how knowledge is revealed to each and every one of us. And the process has got three steps. The first step is self-acknowledgement by each and every one of us as a student that we are ignorant. That is why it is a rule that in front of the spiritual master, a disciple should understand how foolish he is. Not just think, but remember that I am a fool. Why I am a fool? Because I have been thinking that I am the doer. Because of my intelligence, I have been functioning. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Lord Shiva is preaching to Sati in the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter. Lord Shiva is telling Sati that false ego destroys a person both mentally as well as sensually. So long as somebody is having false ego, he gets destroyed. And the converse of false ego, the opposite of false ego is one who can confess to the reality, come to the reality. So the first step of revelation, first step of how spiritual knowledge is revealed, is to accept that I am ignorant and I need direction. The second step of revelation is understanding the process of gaining knowledge. First is self-confession and self-confirmation that on my own I am in darkness and I need direction. And the second thing that is needed is to have latching on to the right process that can help us. I know I have a difficulty, but if I do not know which doctor to go, anybody who is a doctor, I'll just walk in, I may have a different effect. It is explained that one does not need spiritual knowledge to choose which is the right spiritual knowledge. One needs some genuine desire, one needs some burning desire to choose the right spiritual knowledge. Because we know that what are we missing and what do we need to get. So we may not be having full illumination on how I should be, you know, brought into light. But at least if I have a genuine desire to be brought to light, then I will be sincere enough in knowing the process of gaining that knowledge. So the second stage of revelation is the process. And the third stage of, a third and most important stage of revelation is the process begins with surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master. And Sanatana Goswami did all the three. In this verse onwards, next 2-3 verses. He confessed his ignorance, even though it is his humble statement, but definitely he is referring to some episodes for us to learn from that. He is explaining the process. My dear Lord, you please enlighten. You please share. You please explain. I am ready to elaborate. I will walk the path. I will not do left, right. I will not deviate. I will stay put in the same line that you draw. The very last shloka of this chapter, or maybe second last shloka of this chapter, Prabhupada writes in the purport, one should not even try to write anything about Vaishnava behavior or Vaishnava unless he is empowered by some guru coming in the disciplic succession. So the process is, unless we are empowered, there are certain things that we are careful not to do that. There's a separate science all about this particular point. We can talk about Maryada Vyadikrama, we can talk about, you know, qualification, we can talk about giving credit to the parampara, we can go on talk about that. So, but Prabhupada very clearly says, the process means empowerment. Unless the disciple is empowered by the spiritual master, he should only act on those things where he has been asked to do. So Sanatana Goswami very nicely followed that process. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him, he latched onto this process and finally he is confessing that, Mahaprabhu, you are my life and soul. You have to enter my heart. You have to give the direction by which I can do this service nicely. So it is not that I am doing the service successfully by my endeavor, by my intelligence, by my capability, by my resources. Even though all of them are utilized, they are happening because of the Midas touch from you. It is happening because of the direction and perspective we receive from the parampara. That is why it is explained that in our entire journey of Krishna consciousness, the amount of time a Vaishnava spends in giving us direction may be very negligible, but the importance of that direction gives us the privilege to reach the right destination, otherwise we would have reached somewhere else. It is not the amount of time that is spent, it is the perfection as well as the persistence towards absolute truth shared by a bona fide spiritual authority that helps us to march in the right direction. So hence the third reflection is about the process of revelation, that which talks about acceptance of one's ignorance, understanding of the process of functioning in the devotional service, which means empowerment, and third is to surrender the desires and serve the bona fide spiritual master and wait for his directions and act on the direction for his pleasure and give all the credit to them. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is personally teaching us by his example by doing this. He says, the knowledge that I have received from Raghunath Das Goswami, from all the other Goswamis, I am highly indebted to them. I do not have separate adhikar to speak the signs of Chaitanya Charitamrita unless they were in my life. He is repeatedly, every chapter, he writes that how I am not so qualified to speak about the subject matter, but still I am doing this for the purification of myself and as well as to glorify the Supreme Lord. So this is a very consistent behavior that we see, and hence as preachers, as followers, as soldiers of Mahaprabhu Sankirtan army, we should inherit this quality for us to become a successful preacher, successful soldier, and win more and more souls to the Supreme Lord. So, to summarize our conversation, we had three sets of reflection. And the premises of this whole shloka is about how Sanatana Goswami is asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write about Vaishnava behavior, and Sanatana Goswami is getting to the reflective mood. The first reflection is about the evil effects of material education, because of which the Brahmana ceased to become Brahmana. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, he is completely upset that the society is going to the wrong hands because Brahmanas doesn't have a spine, doesn't have proper understanding. And we had five points to say that the nature of material education's impact upon us. It brings in dissatisfaction and satiation, makes our heart hard, makes one narrow-minded and not broad-minded. It brings in inadequacy in devotional symptoms, and one starts to consider illusion as reality and operate on that principle. And a Brahmana, when he failed upon his duties, the society gets degraded. And hence, Srila Prabhupada set up this Krishna consciousness movement to revive that, to create more and more Brahmanas who can be having self-control, who can be having a spiritual, scriptural knowledge coming from the parampara, who is having the authority to teach about the spiritual science and win more and more souls and revive, rejuvenate, recreate that society. That's why Srila Prabhupada called it as Daiva Varnashrama. The second principle we spoke about is about Sanatana Goswami's mood of repentance and humility, how it is very important and consistent in one's practices in Krishna consciousness. And the last reflection that we discussed was about the process of revelation, which talks about one's confession about his ignorance, embracing the process and wait for empowerment, and finally latching onto the lotus feet of bona fide spiritual master and making his instruction as one's life and goal. These three are very important. If you eliminate any one of them, the equation becomes lopsided. If I don't understand where I stand, I have a difficulty. If I understand where I stand, I have a spiritual master but does not know the process, then I'll be a sentimental guy. If I understand the process but does not go to a spiritual master, then I am an arrogant one. So either way, this will become lopsided. So hence, for us to get the revelation, for Krishna to reveal, for us to see Dham, for us to see Siddhanta, for us to see the process of devotional service applied upon us, we need to get to this zone of understanding where do I stand, understanding the process of knowing it, and eventually latch on to the bona fide spiritual authority, with whose help this knowledge will be revealed. So thank you so much. It was a pleasure to, you know, speak on the science of Krishna consciousness from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And even though for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this not necessarily is our, you know, new year, but somehow we are all sold out to modern ideologies, modern systems. We all can definitely wish each other a happy Krishna consciousness year ahead, any point in time, because the day we wish, because we need wishes every day. So even considering by that stand, I definitely wish you all a very happy Krishna conscious year, happy Krishna conscious moment, so that may this life be the last one that we will live in this world, and eventually we report to the spiritual abode and resume back the service that we left. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions or comments we can discuss?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much. The class was extremely beautiful and filled with realizations. I liked a lot of things that you were saying. First and foremost thing about Sanatana Goswami, first of all, he qualified himself to, he was a real Brahmana. At the same time, he was so humble and he was ready to see where he had shortcomings. Of course, he didn't have any shortcomings, but it's more of a lesson for us. Very, very beautifully said, Prabhu. Very nice class. And also, I like the something you said, like, you don't have to be spiritual to, you don't need a spiritual thing to seek out for a spiritual path. What was that you said? I thought that was interesting.
So the point I was trying to say is that for us to know which is the real process, real spiritual, you know, bona fide process, we don't necessarily need to be a qualified, you know, intelligent person. Provided we have a genuine desire, we will be able to recognize that we are into a bona fide process.
Very nice. Very nice class, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Prabhuji, you were talking about, you're giving the example, like, you know, if somebody will tell us that if you are not singing properly, then we believe that we are not singing properly. What was that connection, Prabhu? Can you give me again a little bit explanation about that?
I was trying to say that many times we are sold out to the modern ideologies and relinquish our own traditional customs. We have, these Brahmanas became so-called Brahmana or Brahma Bandhu because they thought that the life that they, oh my God, look at his shika, look at his dhoti, he's not properly dressed. Suppose if you make a person an odd man out, he starts to feel shame, he starts to feel ashamed that probably he's the only odd man out, he starts to rethink about his own attire, about his own lifestyle. So the way the modern so-called demoniac persons went ahead in crippling this whole Varnashrama system is to mock the Vedic civilization, to completely make us feel ashamed of us to be a Brahmana or a devotee or anything. And I know many, many, you know, devotees whose parents are worshipping Ranganatha Swami temple in Srirangam, they are worshipping the Lord, they have a privilege through generations after generations they are worshipping, but their children and the family members have gone to some Shudra job, engineering job, even though by the rules of the books in the Ranganatha Swami temple in Srirangam, those children will get the privilege of touching and worshipping the deities. They have gone past thinking that these are all not going to yield us anything. So the premises on which one function is completely external. So I was just giving the example is, the moment one person is repeatedly told about some nonsense, we start to believe that nonsense has sense. So the moment somebody says that you are not singing well, even though you may be singing well, maybe you are doing some good service, one moment somebody repeatedly says this, probably you start to question your own integrity, question your own service. So it is that something which we need to be very careful about. A Brahmana is generally one who does not give importance to such distractions, but because of the nature of the material education, we give importance to so many things that we are not supposed to give importance, and we are definitely leaving back the age-old tradition which is jewel for all of us. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for again repeating for my sake. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful, very eye-opening class. So, Prabhuji, like, you know, you said advertisement and all these companies, they use these things, like illusion, what we have. And you give the story of that cow and the donkey, like that. So, yeah. So, Prabhuji, how to, you know, nowadays everybody is getting that, Prabhuji. Our children are getting, becoming victim of this system, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so because the current material education is feeding the poison. I'll tell you, it's very, very interesting fact. The first thing that is happening to all of us, especially the current generation, is the attention span to even give attention to whatever you speak is also gone. I'm not sure if you have noticed this. If you open YouTube, nowadays there are a lot of ads that come in. If you see, the skip ad pops out after 5 to 6 seconds. The research is done that if within 5 to 6 seconds, if I can't, you know, catch your attention, that's all. So our attention span to get attracted to certain things is completely reducing day by day. And if we are not able to retain anybody's attention span, how do you even educate them? In business schools, they have stopped asking people, at least in India and some schools that I know, that students need not study. They have to check few YouTube links. So they said, instead of reading this book, you see 4 YouTube links, then only the boy will study or, you know, see and come. So somehow or other, the whole backbone of our learning is getting completely crippled. And with all due respects, I have to say that we as devotees are not bold enough to challenge this. How do we challenge this? The same way in which the material education people, the materialistic people challenge them. Today we work on majority. If majority of people say something is nonsense, we'll call them as nonsense. Because that is why Prabhupada says it's demon crazy. Democracy is based on majority. And unfortunately, we as devotees does not come collectively to operate something on majority, and we have our own fear. We don't have complete conviction on our own philosophy. And that boldness. And unfortunately, we also have our own data points of how things went south, how things did not happen correctly. So that is a matter of concern. So that is the reason we need to constantly have this dialogue and debate on how can we revive Varnashrama Dharma? How can we work collaboratively? How can we save our children from this rascaldom? How can we help our community members to help each other? Going beyond our sensual, mental, intellectual, and operate on the platform of soul. It's a very important service. I am making a presentation in this upcoming ILS in Mayapur on educational leadership. So there are 4 types of leadership. One is called servant leadership. Second is called transactional leadership. But one of the important leadership that is being spoken of is called transformational leadership. Transformational leadership means each and every one of us should become a leader by ourselves, because that is an adesh, that is a direction, that is an instruction given by Mahaprabhu, and try to contribute for the cause. Otherwise, two generations later, our great children, great grandchildren will definitely be in a very animalistic society. So what you are saying is definitely a concern, which is also my concern. So that is why, you know, Prabhupada gave a wonderful purport. You should read that purport. Is saying that how each and every one of us, especially the leaders, should make sure that they contribute to help our children take up Krishna consciousness. This is 4th canto, 12th chapter, text number 23. I have referred this in my article in our quarterly magazine of Ministry of Education. I'll read this for you. Any 5-year-old child can be trained, and within a very short time, his life will become successful by realization of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, this training is lacking all over the world. It is necessary for the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement to start educational institutions in different parts of the world to train children, starting at the age of 5 years. Thus, such children will not become hippies or spoiled children of society. Rather, they can all become devotees of the Lord. The face of the world will then change automatically. So Srila Prabhupada is giving a solution. And we think we are looking somebody else, left, right, you know, top down, saying that if some leader will come, well, Krishna will, you know, descend as some leader, send some leader. No, we have to start, buckle up and become a leader, because you are leader of your own house. You are leader of your own, you know, self. So we start trying to strategize, at least to start think about it. I end this with the point saying, I always request our, you know, students, whenever we are in Dham, whenever we are in some gathering, if we cannot contribute, at least let us sincerely pray and look forward for some initiatives which are acting against the materialistic wave and support them. Give them equivocal, very strong support. At least those who are struggling alone will get, you know, motivation, will get support. So the problem that you are stating is not going to be solved by this conversation, but this problem can be solved when you, me and everybody who is hearing this conversation can make a sankalpa that yes, I am determined to become a soldier of Sankirtan movement, and I am ready to contribute for the Sankirtan cause, even if it means that I am going out of my comfort zone. Otherwise, these advertisements and media, they are completely confusing our children. And why children? Even we adults are having sometimes doubt to saying that maybe am I really in the right process, or probably I should have a mixture of multiple things. So we are already into a very superficial life of spirituality. So we definitely need some, you know, surgical strike that we have to do upon ourselves, so that the future generation is in the right hands. I'm not sure if I really answered your problem, but I acknowledge the problem, and the solution is what Srila Prabhupada has stated in the purport 4.12.23.
Yeah, very true, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other thoughts, comments? Okay, thank you so much. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. See you all sometime soon.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone who joined. We can end the call now. Vancha Kalpataruvya Sindhu Bhevicha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.